we come to a problem of the freedom of individuality. So what is this right of suppress, to suppress the free will of an individual? So why is it in our world that the majority has the right to suppress the free will of an individual? How a man can realize himself if his environment makes him a puppy? So we already explained that it's a natural law that says that the control from above obliged us to live in a society, and each individual consequently has to find for himself the best society, whereas each and every one of us has to care for the benefit of the society, so that the society could provide him with good conditions. And from it follows the law of an individual abiding by the laws of the society. When, according to an individual mind, wants to be free from abiding by the society's laws, is against the law of nature. That's why the majority is always suppressing an individual. And it's clear that in all those cases when the material interests of the society are not in the scope of attention, there is no right to suppress an individual's freedom, and it is done by evil, bad people. So what does Baal Salam wish to say here? He says that all the laws on which the well-being of the society depends, to work, to would become richer. I remember when I was an engineer in Russia, there was a very simple calculation of how each individual, earned 1 ruble, I was given 14 rubles to the factory that I was working on. So a man has to create the society which would be good to him, and he has to abide by the society's laws. And this is the natural law coming from above. So many times you heard from me that a Kabbalist has to serve in the army, work, have a family, be a law-abiding citizen in any society that he may find himself. And it all concerns the material condition of the society which he belongs to, what the society demands from him. But whatever refers to his personal, inner, spiritual development, which refers to his connection with the Creator, vertically, so to speak, the society has nothing to do with it. The society should not be interested in it. So this side provides man with a complete freedom. So we have to differentiate between these two notions. we have to be good citizens of our countries in the world, and we have to think about the well-being of our country and of the world as a whole, a material world, and here we have to act according to the laws of the country, of the state that we live in. But innerly, spiritually, we have to be free, have to develop according to the Rishimot in us. From the above said, writes Ba'asalam, the source of this right of the society to suppress an individual is a natural law. And in all those cases when material interests are not concerned, there's no right on the part of the society to suppress any freedom of an individual. So on the level of our world, the society rules whatever's above the level of our world. Man has to be given freedom. So in people who violate these laws are criminals and villains, plus dictators like Stalin or Hitler. So in the second case, above control does not oblige men to abide by the society's laws. But in spite of the fact that man does not have to abide by the society's laws in his spiritual life, we have the opposite situation. The society has to provide man with all conditions for him to be able to develop spiritually. So on the level of our world, I have to abide by the majority's laws, but what concerns my spiritual development, I don't have to listen to the majority. I'm connected to the Creator individually, and moreover, the society has to provide me with all necessary conditions for my spiritual development. That's how natural laws are designed. And whether we wish to abide by them or not is irrelevant. Whatever refers to our spiritual life, there is no obligation on the part of an individual before the society. On the opposite, the majority has to bow its head, so to speak, before an individual and help him develop spiritually. And it is described in an article called Shalom, Peace, written by Ba'asalam. There are two ways of control that leads us to the goal. So these two influences, two ways of control from above, are felt by us, either as a way of suffering, which forces us to develop unconsciously, running away from sufferings. And the second way, the way of Torah, the way of an intelligent evolution, when we consciously and willingly advance along the way of our spiritual development. So we move from the way of sufferings and arrive at our free advancing to the spirituality. happen when humanity will be mature enough to go along the way of Torah. They will have to take upon themselves an invaluable gift that the Creator gave them. Although quantitatively the masses cannot be compared with an individual, submit itself to an individual's needs. Otherwise, it would be developing through sufferings, and it will lead the huge society as a crowd of blind men after one who can see, and there is a guarantee that they will come to a good, kind goal. So the right of the majority in the spiritual turns from a right into an obligation, into a duty to submit to individuals' demands and needs. It's clear to everyone that intelligent and wise people are always a minority, so the success of the society is determined by a quantity of these sages, these wise men, and the society has to provide for them and care for them so that they would not disappear from the world. And the ideas of this world are not in the hands of governments. The governments are not individuals. Governments are elected by the masses. It's very seldom it happens that there are individuals in the government that are carriers of very lofty, bright ideas. Normally, the governments can just manipulate the majority. They understand this majority and can use it using its egoism. So we don't mean those who head the society. We mean the spiritually developed individuals that may be unknown and unnoticed by others. So all progressive ideas are not in the hands of the powerful governments. The wisdom comes in very small portions to this world. So the society has to diminish itself and should be organized in such a way that in order not by no means to suppress an individual's freedom. Then there is hope that these individuals would develop in this society so that this society would find in itself aspirations for spirituality, but only provided it does not suppress an individual's freedom. If we pay attention to how Kabbalistic knowledge was transferred from generation to generation, we'll see that there was a society which was doing something, was performing some mechanical commandments, had its rituals, existed in some framework as a people. And on this level, there was a certain order for all to follow the rules and the laws. There were not laws that were ever changing all the time. The laws were the same, rigid, strict laws written thousands of years ago. Why was it designed so, especially for the Jewish people? Because in this people there were certain individuals, Kabbalists, who from generation to generation had to grow individually without expressing themselves, showing themselves to the society. So the society was not suppressing their freedom. Only for this purpose, this performing of commandments were created. All these laws of our worldly behavior are necessary and exist only for the purpose that the masses could follow them and be busy and would create a situation and conditions for not forcing and suppressing an individual. On the other hand, so it was done so that such an individual would correctly develop spiritually. Otherwise, in case of anarchy, it would have led to all kinds of appearance of many faiths and a lot of confusion. It will turn into a spiritual anarchy. So the suppression of an individual by the society should be so selective that it always helped the Kabbalists to evolve and develop. All these laws describe the mode of behavior of the society, and they oblige people throughout generations to abide by them. And this unchanging mass throughout generations. Of course, we are not speaking about today's generation because we are on a certain level of development. But if you take the Jewish mass of the 8th century and the 18th century, there's no major difference between them. They were reading the same books, spoke the same language. I'm not speaking various dialects, but the difference of 1,000 or 2,000 years didn't mean anything. They had the same customs. The relationship between people was the same. Why was it introduced by our forefathers, the Kabbalists, so that this it was done so that this mass, so these laws allow the masses to remain as a mass and provide an individual with opportunity to develop. The next part, criticism the criticisms as a condition of a correct development. We have to add to the above said that the reality shows us a difference between an individual and the society. If we wish to have a good, healthy society, we have to unite people in it. But it's quite opposite in the case of a development. If on an animal level we unite people, conduct all kinds of meetings, gatherings, then it creates in people a good, healthy atmosphere. The closer we put the bodies together, then on a bodily level, on a healthy, on an animal level, we become healthier. But on a scientific level, the lack of criticism is a source of all failures and interferes with the progress of the society. All correct conclusions depend on the difference in opinions, and the more criticism, the better the evolution of the mind. And all failures and failures are due to the lack of criticism. That's the difference between a totalitarian society and a democratic society. And of course, democratic society is much better conditioned to a healthy development. It finds in itself more and more correct and harmonious ideas. We are speaking on the level of our material level, whereas the totalitarian society suppresses and oppresses masses and forces them to move after a bunch of people. So they are violating a basic natural law. In the framework of this world, an individual has to follow the majority, their natural development, to such an extent that it finds it very hard, if possible at all, to return to a correct development. If there is no leader, the masses don't know where to go. The masses don't understand that they have to control the situation. As we read in the previous chapter, so the society has to preserve and care for the freedom of an individual so that the individuals would know that progressive, true ideas are not in the hands of a power-holding bunch of people, but in the hands of an unnoticeable, inconspicuous minority. So, it's obvious that the foundation of our earthly success lies in uniting the members of society. By that we mean introduction of unified general laws. But on the other hand, the development of ideas and sciences and the progress should be based on criticism. So there's a law deriving from this situation. So when a humanity will rise to a level of a mutual love and all people's desires will be united, we'll be feeling our closeness to each other on an earthly level, as it is said in the article Peace, then humanity will know what happiness means. So, Baha'i Salam mentioned here the level of a complete perfection. What would we be like? So, we would have to be careful not to abolish criticism and substitute it with the mutual love between the bodies. So the freedom of will should be cherished, but at the same time, this comfortable state on the bodily level can harm the growth of an individual, which can ideally develop only in the atmosphere of criticism and a collision of minds and ideas, so that people would stay loyal to their spiritual development in spite of the fact that they like to be united. It's a very complicated interdependence. That's why the Kabbalists introduced these laws to the society. So those who wished to develop spiritually were in a very rigid framework. It's similar to a box with a soil, and there are seeds, and imagine that there is a screen with above this box, and the screen has a few holes in it. So this screen cover with a few holes will permit only a small number of individuals to grow, so a society could be governed by these laws and provide individuals, Kabbalists, with all necessary conditions for their correct spiritual development. On the other hand, these laws of the society would lead them, move them only in one direction, and there will be a constant pressure on the part of the society. It's very difficult to express all this interdependence between an individual and today this kind of society is non-existent. But reading about it today, we can imagine how wise this design was, that it created a proper foundation for an optimal development of the society and of an individual. In our times, it does not exist. We see in a crisis of a religious Judaism and in a general crisis of the Israeli society. The Israeli society is absolutely disoriented, and the religious masses don't know where to go. There's no ideology, no ideals. The only ideal is a golden cuff. And Talmud says that in the end of generations, the face of the generation will be like a face of a dog. So it will be like that until its final correction. And so we proved the gentle and careful approach to individuals' freedom. So we have to preserve this freedom with responsibility and each quality of an individual is a certain force, and through each human quality these desires should be filled, if these desires are used for the sake of the spiritual development of an individual.